Good morning, this is Fran Michelle, sharing some lightly edited excerpts from a post by Rob Wallace titled, Whether Bird Flu is on the March Misses the Point. Wallace is an evolutionary epidemiologist at the Agroecology and Rural Economics Research Corps and Pandemic Research for the People. He is the author of Big Farms Make Big Flu, Dead Epidemiologists, and most recently, The Fault in Our SARS, and is co-author of the more technical monographs, Neoliberal Ebola and Clear-Cutting Disease Control. Wallace has consulted for the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, the CDC, and the People's CDC, and has been a guest on the Old Mole Variety Hour. His post originally appeared on his Patreon, to which you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month, and was republished at MR Online, where you can find the full text with all the details, diagrams, and documentation. In summary, he argues that the media flurry about the H5N1 strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI, is more about sensationalism, misdirection, and xenophobia than about information or action. That the bigger picture is that neoliberal capitalism, with its concentrated industrial agriculture, exploitative labor relations, and environmental destruction, will continue to generate and disseminate disease. And even the best responses and mitigations will be rearguard actions unable to prevent disease outbreaks. A robust public health system could provide important protections against these outbreaks, but the ongoing COVID pandemic has instead occasioned further undermining and dismantling of public health in the U.S. Wallace details that avian influenza has been circulating and thus mutating in dense agricultural settings for some 30 years, has increasingly been infecting mammals for the last 2 years, and we do not know how fully it will move into humans because research has been truncated and defunded and surveillance is spotty and inadequate. He points out that despite evidence that H5N1 has been circulating on U.S. dairy farms since last year, despite missing data that suggests even more herds are infected than is known, and despite anecdotal reports of widespread illness among dairy workers, few animals and fewer people have been tested. Wastewater monitoring does not distinguish between different strains of flu or between bovine and human sources, and the CDC recently declined to even consider a proposal to do this kind of screening. Moreover, with the government response of paying farmers to cull infected animals, farmers who are massively profitable agribusiness concerns and culls that entail no further action to prevent future spread, the government, in effect, encourages the continuation of the very practices that are causing the problem in the first place, and current arrangements allow agribusinesses to compel contract farmers to take the major risks, allowing concerns about disease to be directed against immigrant laborers rather than against the corporations driving the current food system. Reflexive reassurance about food safety is designed more to quell panic than to assure health. So, although Wallace provides some detailed discussion of what is known about the H5N1 virus and its circulation, that's not where he starts or what he stresses. Whether bird flu is on the march misses the point, he writes. Quote, you'd expect a report on the new round of highly pathogenic avian influenza spilling over into mammals and humans to begin with a Just the Facts update. But to start with such an encapsulation would serve only to miss the point of the latest epizootic episode, much in the way the near entirety of the press corps has in splattering H5N1 all over us, and just off its role in burying the still-circulating COVID-19. To understand this bird flu, we need to begin elsewhere. Indeed, on other topics entirely. Liberal governance mid-century cared about democracy and welfare economics only to the extent that they together helped diffuse rebellion against capitalism's intrinsic expropriation. They served as social bribes. Once the U.S. empire began to wilt on the far side of the cycle of American accumulation, the bureaucrats who followed folded away even this utilitarian generosity. Keeping the machine running unimpeded now involved, on the one hand, sharper forms of labor discipline, and, on the other, assistance largely in ridiculous lines of expensive credit as just another market into which capital expanded. Concern over possible pandemics comes in more regular waves than actual outbreaks. That should be considered a good thing. A deadly pandemic every couple years just seems horrific. Wallace learned over 25 years of tracking bird flu, however, the danger may also be in the alert serving more to absolve the world system from acting on the alarms. each surprised that the virus refuses to cooperate with hopium, acting in its own interests instead of ours, also serves to protect the system from the implications of its refusal to act. These surprises, pretending we don't know what we know, are themselves an ideological project. The logic of fantasy remains stuck to the logic of production. The business of governing a system in decline, after all, is about managing expectations. All is well, get back to work. Until suddenly it isn't, as it always was. Emergency responses are critical, of course, but such logistics are an indirect, if perhaps in most cases unintended, means by which to avoid addressing the greater foundational context driving the emergence of diseases. That is, however critically unaware its practitioners, the omission serves as an ideological design feature partial to the present political and economic orders. Do not mistake our meaning. We all must continue to pronounce the obvious, otherwise our cynicism flatters us into inaction. From COVID to Palestine, fascism, a death cult, isn't a political party. It's a social formation wherein the political class of both parties stateside redirects the accumulating rage at a program organized around helping the rich cash out on the last of the public commons, redirects it upon the poorest and most vulnerable. If you want to stop a virus primed to kill a billion people, you'll have to replace the present system. No new vaccine or mask mandate or animal rights or conservation program the rich have already captured will be enough. We'll have to junk these relations of production in favor of creaturely eco-socialisms region by region. Otherwise, if the present genocide hasn't clued you in, the investor class, North and South, are prepared to sacrifice all whom they deem unuseful. They are even now enclosing the bedrock of our natural order, clean water, what fertile soils remain, temperature itself, to the last gulp of plague-free air.
Are we prepared to snap out of the fog of their necromaniac assurances? Are we ready to reject the rearward model that emergencies are to be addressed only after the fact? Are we set to save our own lives from those blithely fixed upon sacrificing them? End quote. This has been Fran Michel reading from Rob Wallace's essay, Whether Bird Flu is on the March, Misses the Point, available at MR Online.